A questa verte.
Witches and witches and witches.
A questa verte.
Come, Sergio. I've procured some Molly.
Can you
come on, man?
Can you go down to the microphone on the bottom left?
You just
where
got
it says
mossed.
Mute. Oh, you want me to mute it?
No.
Oh, dude, come on! Don't make me mute it. Why am I muting it? Come on, man! Come on, man! I'm not talking. I'm Jack, my man.
Look, Quinn and I are Sean, trying to start a podcast empire, and we just no, he's joking. That's where the advanced settings are. Click the arrow next to the mute button.
Yeah. Click this arrow next to the mute button. This tiny little, the tiny.
Just log out.
Hover over the mute button. And then delete your Zoom account.
This is the Vampire Journals podcast.
And we're live and loud from the Live Loud studios. I'm joined remotely once again, post-Thanksgiving, with the one, the only Quinn Carson. Quinn, what's up, my man?
Dan, back in sunny Los Angeles. And ready to go, ready to continue on in this wonderful 10th season of the Ray Lewis League and the senior year of the Vampire League.
Yeah, you know, last week it certainly was cool to have you here in studio. We got to record together in person for the first time in about a year. But I got to say, I felt like my mojo was kind of off. I wasn't on my A game, and I don't know if that was, you know, figuring out the cadence of sharing one microphone, or if it was the two pitchers of beer plus the four beers at disc golf. I felt like I wasn't as sharp as I am today working with you across the country.
Well, yeah, I think we'll let the viewers decide. We'll put up a poll up for this episode. So go back, check out our Hot Ones, our annual Hot Ones episode from last week, and if you think Daniel was too drunk to drive, let us know.
Yeah, I wish you wouldn't have phrased it like that.
Well, you know, drive the podcast. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Well, speaking of driving, we're going to do a U-turn there and turn into a little bit of a fanny fit. Oh, God damn.
Oh, Daniel, what you been up to? All right.
Second cup of coffee hasn't kicked in yet.
Yeah, right.
Well, speaking of driving, we're going to do a U-turn here, 180, and get into fantasy football. And Quinn, it might seem like this is week three all over again, but we're talking about another Christian McCaffrey injury. This one's going to take him out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, you know, actually, wait, I feel like, should we tell everybody what the storyline of the podcast is today?
Yeah. Why don't you break it down for him?
So we took a look back and we were like, what was the most listened to podcast so far this season? And it happened to be our first ever Sunday morning countdown. And so we thought that we would replicate that show because you guys listened to it so much. You fell in love with it. You're going to have some great stuff. We're going to talk the Vampire League, the Ray Lewis League. We've got a quick bite segment for you. Jay Moneybags is going to make a return, and we've got a big challenge segment because we felt like that was something from that episode that you all loved. And also we're debuting the Coat Rack 2 music video.
Yeah. Big budget. A lot of money's gone into this production. Some say it's behind schedule. They don't know if it's going to deliver on all the hype. But I think this music video is going to show you that film's in good hands. And speaking of this episode, you know, in the past, we've obviously been really reactive and responsive to all of your emails, all of your Twitter questions. We really like to just be reactionary and respond to what the listeners like. And so, yeah, when we reviewed all of the listens for the episodes this season, this was the one that stood out. And Quinn, I got to say, when you were reading off to me the kind of the plot lines and bullet points of this episode, it's kind of freaky how that parallels pretty on the nose to the things we would have naturally talked about today anyways, right?
Yeah, it's wild. When I looked at the episode description that had some timestamps in there as well, we could jump right into seeing that in week 3 of the first Sunday Morning Countdown this season, we covered the Christian McCaffrey injury. And that's, again, right where we're starting this countdown show, right, with a new Christian McCaffrey injury.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for the guy, a fantasy stud for several seasons to open his career, but the injury bug has bit him for quite a while here the last couple of seasons. Steven actually just recently dropped McCaffrey from his roster. Of course, he is on the IR for the rest of the season, so there was no need to hang on to him. But Quinn, when I'm taking a look back at draft day and looking at all the budget spends, Christian McCaffrey stands out. He was kind of deservedly so the top or the most expensive running back in the league. Also the only player in the league that went for more than $50. Steven spent $53 on Christian McCaffrey. His next most expensive player, $32 for Saquon Barkley. So he was drafting like it was 2018. That strategy hasn't played out for him overwhelmingly well. Yet he does still find himself in the thick of the playoff picture, right?
Yes, he does. At this point, we're looking at a huge upset from you, Stanpire, from last week. You came up and you almost doubled Jay's score, scoring 137-77 and taking a player to boot. Funny story, that's going to be the third player that was drafted on my board to go to the Vampire. Even though I only played you twice this year, you took two of my players, and now you've actually taken a third that I caught for a steal in Alvin Kamara. Yeah. But looking at this, Steven's got high hopes. He's at 500 right now in the league, and he's got a chance to keep moving on. So it was a big thing, but I think the biggest loss would be the Christian McCaffrey injury, also Julio Jones going on IR. And, you know, but Daniel, we called it at Halloween, did we not?
We did. It's you know, it's been pretty interesting how the two Halloween specials have kind of bared out for the second half of the fantasy seasons. Joe Mixon, a no-show for the remainder of the year last year, and now this year, Christian McCaffrey making a brief comeback from the first injury of the year. The second one is more for him to overcome.
For sure, for sure. And also just the pure disappearing act from Gio Bernard in general.
I'm curious, you know, with Leonard Fournette's current mojo, if maybe we have a Brady Bernardini effect on Leonard Fournette. It'll be interesting to see if we can dig up anything worth investigating there. So if we're taking a look at last week's marquee matchup of the week, like you said, I nearly doubled Steven's score, 137-77. My top scorer of the week was Austin Eckler, who I acquired from you earlier in the year. Kicker Nick Folk with 20 points, his second big week in the row, really helped me secure a victory after helping me get close against Chase the previous week. But I had to say adios to Nick Folk in the transaction for Steve, for beating Steven. As you mentioned, I took Alvin Kamara, who you had traded to him, earlier in the year. So the third player I got from Trombone Shorty, and this was the second time I beat Steven this year. And the second time that I really tried to impact his roster more so than improving my roster. He's been one game ahead of me for, it seems like forever this year. Still the case, I'm 5-7, he's 6-6. First time around, I took Kyler Murray and left him without a quarterback. That didn't end up hurting him all that much. So this week, with McCaffrey on IR, DeAndre Swift expected to miss time with a shoulder injury, Aaron Jones on bye week, I felt like if I was able to take Kamara, that would leave him with only one running back, Saquon Barkley. And so just to kind of wrap this up, we have seen that Wednesday, December 1st, Steven and Chase tentatively agreed to a deal where Steven would send Aaron Jones, who's on a bye week with the Packers, to Chase's team for Miles Gaskin from the Dolphins. This will, if it goes through, allow Steven to have two running backs.
Right. And then that's a vote currently speaking, correct?
Yes, it is still up for vote. I believe once the voting period is over, it'll process automatically. But instead of talking about that, I think we want to segue from last week to this week's marquee matchup of the week. Is that right?
Correct. And it's going to be a big one. You know, Daniel, there's three matchups, obviously, in this Vampire League. You've got the 7-5 Deacon Dorff versus Smoke and Jay Cutler at 6-6. Turd Ferguson at 6-6 versus you, Stan Pyre the Vampire. And then myself at 4-8 versus the first place, Mr. Solo Dolo at 8-4. You know, the question is, you know, and Daniel, you're going to reveal to us, which is the marquee matchup of the week? Is it Deacon Dorff versus Smoke and Jay Cutler for prime chances to make the playoffs and firm up their position? Or is it Turd Ferguson trying to defend his team one last time against the Vampire before the playoffs?
Well, frankly, they don't call it the non-Vampires League. It's called the Vampire League for a reason, and I think that's because all hands need to be on deck for this matchup between the 5-7 Vampire. Clawing for his playoff life, ideally needs to win out to secure a spot in the playoffs, versus Robbie, who's just a game ahead, 6-6, but historically as the Vampire Killer has the best record, the most wins, highest win percentage against the Vampire. When I say that he's been here before, nobody's been in this spot as many times as him. He's currently facing an uphill climb. He's being out projected by Stan Pyre to the tune of about 36 points, so he's got a little bit of work to do, but I expect this to be competitive, and I think this is going to have a bigger impact on the overall playoff picture.
Now, Daniel, if you win, who are you looking at on Robbie's team to take?
Yeah, it's a good question. If I'm going to open this up right now, we know the first time around that I beat Robbie, Derrick Henry was injured that game. Really kind of altered my plans. Ideally, I would have been able to take Henry then and come back around the turn and grab Cooper Kupp now. But currently, Robbie's two running backs, Antonio Gibson and James Robinson, they're not really moving the needle for me. But much like with Steven's team, Robbie only has one healthy running back on the bench. If I take one, it's really going to hurt his depth.
Yeah, probably Damian Harris might even be the guy to take at 20.
He's the only one that doesn't have a questionable designation amongst his running backs. If we take a look at his receivers, Tyler Lockett, Stephon Diggs, on the bench, CeeDee Lamb, Allen Robinson, Corey Davis, Robbie Anderson. Anderson, Davis don't move the needle at all. Allen Robinson's had a year from hell. He doesn't move the needle. So really it would be, am I interested in CeeDee Lamb, Stephon Diggs, Tyler Lockett? I don't know what's going on with the Seahawks offense, so we're going to take Lockett out of that equation. So we'll bookmark Diggs and CeeDee Lamb. Consider his tight end, Kyle Pitts, two up and down for me as well. He just had Logan Thomas come off the IR, so even if I took a tight end, he would have a backup. His quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Ryan Tannehill. Let's take Tannehill out of the equation. Allen, currently the number one ranked fantasy quarterback in this league. So we're looking at Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb as potential targets. I hadn't really considered taking anybody's quarterback much throughout this season.
You were burned with Kyler Murray,
too. Yeah, I was going to say, aside from when I took Kyler Murray. Josh Allen, I rode him to the championship last year. He got me in the Vampire position. White Culpepper is really kind of rounding into form after being a little bit inconsistent at the start of the league season. But that's the Dante Culpepper way. So, you know, Buffalo's really going to be trying to claw for number one seed at the top of a murky AFC standings. So I think that's somebody that can put up some dynamite points, takes away the quarterback wide receiver coupling he currently has with Allen and Diggs, and forces him to throw Ryan Tannehill into the starting lineup. AJ Brown just went on IR. We said Derrick Henry on IR. Julio Jones, I believe, still currently on IR, but nearing a comeback much sooner than the other two. So I think that that's the biggest way to hurt Robbie. And it kind of gets me, like a teacher's pet, kind of a favorite of mine. Josh Allen, quarterback.
So you're coming in with Josh Allen, huh?
That would be my guess as of right now. You know, again, last time I played Robbie, there was an injury on Sunday that changed who I had to pick in the moment. So we'll just keep our fingers crossed and that's the case this week. Or excuse me, we'll keep our fingers crossed that Allen stays healthy this week. But if somebody major does get injured for him, I might have to reshape who I take. Because much like Steven, Robbie is just one game ahead of me. And every game counts at the end of the season when you're trying to get in.
I know. It's going to be great. It's going to be a big marquee matchup of the week. And I think Daniel in the Vampire League, let's look back one last time to the results of the last few holiday weeks. And let's check out the QPC projections.
Yeah, can't wait.
But first, let's check out a new movie coming out this weekend.
Last summer, Reese Witherspoon and Jack Nicholson brought you the story of a generation.
I don't know what to do, Dad.
Annie, sweet Annie. Don't let anyone tell you what you can do with your boat.
I'm gonna build this rack.
Listen, lady, I've been doing boats a long time. You can't just put a rack on a boat.
Never heard of it.
Oh, get off of there.
Anna Stewart left the big city in search of life, liberty, and the sea.
I may be from the big city, but that doesn't mean I don't know how to build a rack.
Instead, she would create history.
You can't just come down here and change my life. Boats are all I know.
Oh, get off of there!
As she navigated through the pains and hardships of building a new life, we were placed in a new world which rested upon the principle that when the world isn't there to support you, you got a rackety, rackety, rack, rack, rack. Rack Witherspoon in Boat Rack.
This boat needs this rack.
Annie, there's one thing I've figured out. It's that none of us know, but you still gotta try.
Reintroducing James Vanderbeek.
Anna.
Jimmy.
Rack Witherspoon in Boat Rack.
And we're back. Daniel, the Apache tribe called, but I'm back off the line now, so we're good.
And we're back from Quinn derailing the podcast, and we're here to talk about the QPC projections. Quinn, we barely had enough time the last time we brought him up. You said we were short for time and cut me off. But we got all the time we need today to talk about your season standings for QPC.
Yes, man, let's talk. Last time we were here with the QPC projections, Daniel, I went 0-3 in week 10. And I was coming off feeling good about myself, but it was a big backslide. I missed all my projections, right? But we've been gone for 2 weeks since we've talked about the QPC projections. And let me tell you, they've been 2 good weeks. I've gone 2-1 both weeks in week 11 and week 12. I guessed the Vampire right last week that you'd beat Smokin' Jay Cutler. Both of my own matches, I guessed right, one loss and one win. And only missed on thinking that Deacon Dorf would lose to Chase and that Chase would lose to you. So pretty much tight. I'm currently 20-16 after 12 weeks, shooting a 55% projection percentage.
We touched briefly on the marquee matchup of the week, Turd Ferguson versus Stan Pyer. Tell me who you got in that matchup.
Well, this week, Stan Pyer versus Turd Ferguson, and with Josh Allen as I guessed on the line, Daniel, I've got you beaten Turd Ferguson. Nice. And I guessed it right. I thought by this point in the season, you'd be taking Josh Allen on there. So I like that. I've kind of seen it happening. And potentially this week, you could be taking down Turd Ferguson, who, you know, we really thought was going to be a playoff lock probably about 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Yes, injuries and Vampire loss have impacted his team, reshaped it. But I'll tell you, a guy named Antonio Gibson really kind of came on strong last week. We'll see if he can continue letting the good times roll. Robbie's really relying on him and James Robinson to carry the running back positions in his starting lineup. And I bet you he's really hoping that he can get a little bit more magic out of the Buffalo Bills duo. Again, I rode both of those dudes last year to the finals, and I bet that Robbie was expecting it to pick up where it left off. stalled out a little bit, but again, Allen, the number one quarterback, Diggs, after a slow start, is now up to the number six fantasy wide receiver. And nobody more so than Moose Courtway is hoping that they've got one more magical performance in them against the Patriots this weekend.
Yes. And moving on over to another matchup that's huge. It's going to be Smokin' Jay Cutler versus Deacon Dorff. Daniel, Smokin' Jay Cutler, he needs to be winning. And a lot of people want him to lose out to see if they can make it into the playoffs. But this week I've got him winning in the QPC projections. I've actually got him winning out is how I saw it at the very beginning of the season. I thought he would finish strong. But I also thought he would be defending better against the Vampire than he did this year. Sorry, dropped my phone. But
yeah, I assume you're dropping that phone because you just processed a trade with Chase.
Yep.
I'm feeling like you lied to me about the Apache tribe calling you. I feel like you were on the phone with Mr. Solo Dolo. And it looks like Chase is offering you Adam Thielen and Miles Sanders. Thielen, the number seven wide receiver, Sanders 47 running back, but has missed a chunk of time, in exchange for wide receiver Keenan Allen, the number nine wide receiver.
On a heater right now.
On a heater right now. So, yeah, you got me a little off guard there. But in terms of this matchup, you know, I think that Kurt really has, you know, has to keep his foot on the gas pedal. Second place currently, great playoff odds. But I think he really needs to lock down that number two spot with a victory here today. He doesn't want to let Turd Ferguson or Jay Cutler creep up behind him with one game left. Finish this season out strong, Kurt. Currently projected to beat Steven by about 26 points, but Steven does have a pending trade that would acquire him a healthy running back this week. So Steven's trading with Chase. Quinn's trading with Chase. Quinn, cue up them splashy keyboards, man, and the marimba drums, because it's the weed smoking matchup of the week.
Y'all smoke weed?
Today's hit of weed is brought to you by LG Window Air Conditioners, providing heating and cooling needs for those without a central HVAC system. LG air conditioners and heaters offer supreme performance at a low-end cost. LG Electronics, here for a brighter tomorrow.
Yes, Daniel has the last QPC projection. It's me versus Chase. And I believe in myself in this
Shout
matchup.
Shout out to Chase.
Yep. I've got Bone Effects Trees taking down Mr. Solo Dolo. So that rounds out week 13's QPC projections. We've got Stampires back, Bone Effects Trees, and Smokin' Jay Cutler as winners in the QPC projections.
Outstanding. Now we're going to take a look at the playoff picture a little bit more closely later on in the podcast. But coming up, we've got our second round of Quick Bites. 30-second look at all of the matchups in the Ray Lewis League. That's coming up right after this.
Now, as Anna's boat rack biz is on the verge of going international, love gets in the way. Coming this winter, starring Reese Witherspoon and Chad Hemsworth, Coat Rack 2.
I'm a first take kind of guy, Daniel.
Coming this winter, Boat Rack 2. Fuck! And we're back. We're taking it over to the 10-year-old Ray Lewis League. It's the 10th year. And Daniel, last week we had some great matchups. We want to take a look at the scoreboard from week 12 in the Ray Lewis Might Have Done It League. We've got some big winners and losers. And we're going to give us 30 seconds a pop and take some quick bites out of these matchups.
Yeah, really interesting matchups, a bunch of blowouts and then a bunch of really close games. So it should be fun to talk about.
Yeah, I want to warm up. So we're going to talk my matchup first just to get the kinks out of it. I'll do 30 seconds on this.
Oh, start the I'll run the timer for you.
Yeah, yeah, please run the timer.
And are you ready?
Yeah, I'm here for
it. Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
Well, it was a tight yet really far away matchup, it felt like, against the 3-9 This Train's Bound for Glory versus 8-4 Anal Fisters. I lost 107.3 to 109.1, a close one, just a barn burner of a matchup in a sense. This year, losing Kendrick Bourne to the bench this week is what really cost me. And I'd have to say it was the 32.8 points from Joe Mixon that took Anal Fisters to the promised land.
Stop. Well done. Well done.
Thank you, Daniel. Also, shout out to Calvin Ridley.
Did he come back?
No, but I did some research today, and it doesn't seem like he's going to come back this season. But he's scheduled to actually get a pay raise, like a huge bump in his pay next year for the 2022 season. That it's like, in a sense, being guaranteed okayed moving forward. So, you know, if he doesn't come back this season, he's still going to be, you know, one of the biggest assets for the Atlanta Falcons come next year.
Yeah. Good for him. Hope we are able to see him back on the field fully healthy on or off the field. And so from one familiar topic to the other, I suppose I'm going to go ahead and take Big Red Bells versus Team Kissing Cousins.
Yep, I'm starting the 30-second timer right now. Daniel's first quick bite starts in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and go.
Well, the matchup between Big Red Bells and Team Kissin' Cousins, a battle of the River Valley Studs, saw Big Red Bells continue to remain in a tie at the top spot at 9-3, putting up 137.1 to Sam's 94.8. However, he didn't come out unscathed in the process. Dalvin Cook sustained a shoulder injury, is going to be out at least a week. Ezekiel Elliott's workload is said to be reduced in Dallas. Sam set a lineup, but he got several players underneath 6 points.
And that's time for you, Daniel. Great job. And also shout out to Sam's new podcast, Let Me Show You Something.
Coming this winter, it's Let Me Show You Something with the Skin Cannon. Sam King
Cannon. I'm the horticulturalist. And today I'm looking at the landscape irrigation system and trying to make sure that everything's functioning properly and that everything's getting covered.
Coming this winter, let me show you something.
Covered.
With the Skin Cannon, Sam King Cannon.
Yeah, I was able to get a nice little behind-the-scenes sneak peek, and the things that Sam is doing on camera are just super interesting, and it's really cool to see the minutiae in what he does and how he does it.
And he really talks you through everything that's going on in the process.
Yeah, it's going to translate flawlessly to the podcast format, and it's going to be a tremendous addition to the Vampire Journals podcast network.
Mm-hmm. And it's also an addition to Sam's portfolio of shows that he's on. He's also on a terrestrial radio show, Daniel, correct? We just found out about this recently.
Yeah, I felt kind of hurt at first when I heard about it, but Sam's running basically like a true crime radio show, early mornings, public access in the Little Rock area.
Yeah, it's called MNTMS, Nailing Murderers to Murder Scenes.
Yeah, it's a little wordy. If he had consulted me, I would have considered rebranding it or taking it in a different direction, but he didn't consult me. I guess, best of luck or whatever they say.
Yeah, well, it must have felt good to take him out by 40 points. And how about we smooth over? Daniel, who's the next one I'm going to take on?
Yeah, so I think that if we're talking about the top of the standings, then we got to consider the guy that you spent a little bit of time with Thanksgiving weekend. That's the Johnsonville chump, Tristan Weaver. Mm. And his matchup with your boy, cross-eyed Dilfer Scott King, two people that you know pretty well. And yeah, think it's a good matchup for you to take on. So if you're ready, I'm going to start the clock in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Well, it was a big game for Johnsonville Champs. They moved from... They took a strong move from... Oh, damn it. God damn it. Damn it. Just, you know, you try and do this right. You know, it's just 120 points. Yeah.
Seconds.
Aaron Rodgers, 31 points. Lamar Jackson, 29. Wow. You thought it'd be enough, but it just wasn't enough. Zero from Mark Ingram. You know, God damn it. 107.73.
Well done. Well done.
You know, I was trying to. I just, you know, you get thrown. All right. I'm going to check something real quick so I don't get thrown anymore. All right. So Johnson, so he's 9-3 now. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So he was walking into the game 9-2, but this,
no,
this,
he was walking into the game 8-3.
He was walking in the game 8-3. You're right. And so it just, damn it. I can't believe it.
It's perfect. I think I fucked one up last time. I think it was Derek in the anal fisters matchup.
But spooky. Hey, you know, you got to do your thing. Cross-eyed Dilford did his best, put out one of his best squads he could.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, talk about injury bug. His team's had it. Oh, that's all I'll say.
Yeah. Yeah. Derrick Henry obviously is his big person. Amari Cooper's been out, you know, and then just, you know, trying to put scorers up there, like Saquon Barkley, he's not really back to form. So, but hey, Scott will be there. Let's move right. on. Let's
well, you know, I feel like I've really, I think I sprung one on you there, maybe. So feel free to give me any of the remaining matchups and I'll do my best.
All right. All right. Why don't you take big Andy Martin Siren House this week? Came in at 6-5 versus Z Hud the Stud at 6-5. How'd that turn out, Daniel? Or, yeah.
Are you gonna give me a?
Oh yeah, I gotta count you off. I'm. This is really bad.
Where'd you go?
I have to cut a lot of this.
Where'd you go?
Yeah.
Who are you?
Should we just restart this whole thing?
No. I feel like I'm doing fine.
Yeah, you're doing great. All right, 30 seconds on the clock. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Well, it was about 10 weeks ago when Andy Martin entered a matchup with Quinn Carson in what we deemed was a loser leaves town match. Andy won and has not looked back since. Moving to 7-5 puts him at a really good chance of making the playoffs. His team has surged behind the legs of Jonathan Taylor. The Studs team has sputtered as Mahomes has been hot and cold. Kyle Pitts, same story. Terry McLaurin, same story. Hot and cold's been the story for him all year, and it was again this past week.
Yeah, I got to say with you too, you know, you were hoping for a big game from Cam Newton. He just couldn't get it coming. And from Cam Newton down, it just did not produce well this week. You got to get a 20-point scorer in this league to really give yourself a chance at competing.
Yeah, you know, Andy didn't have a 20-point score, but he had every slot other than his defense break double digits.
Oh, yeah, Tom Brady. Tom Brady had 28.
Oh, no, that's his projected score.
Oh, excuse me. You're right. I apologize. Yeah. I'm bad today.
Come on.
I'm cutting this out.
Get it together. We're going to take a look at the remaining matchups in the Ray Lewis League and maybe get Quinn a glass of ice water. That and more coming up after a word from our commercial sponsor. This week's Water Break of the Week is brought to you by the number one New York Times bestseller, Gone Girl by Gillian Flynn. Janet Maslin of the New York Times describes it as ice pick sharp, spectacularly sneaky, impressively cagey. The author of Sharp Objects, now an HBO limited series, this book was later developed into a film starring Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike. Gillian Flynn's Gone Girl. And we're back, Quinn. We got the after 16-minute TV timeout. You were able to hit the Gatorade bottle. You got a towel for your face. You feeling refreshed and ready to get back out on the court?
It's just about effort, defense, just staying in the game. I'm going to come back. I might be down on the scorecards, but I'm going to come back and knock you out by the end of this podcast, Daniel. And starts right now.
Yeah. Speaking of staying in the game, you know, the first game you covered was the closest matchup of the week. The next one I'm going to throw to you was the second closest matchup of the week. League commissioner and former league champion Stephen Fox entered the matchup 5-6, going head-to-head against Kyle Russell's Sandusky Shower, came into the matchup at 2-9. This matchup was decided 99.2 to 99.5. Quinn, I'm going to pass the mic over to you in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Well, it was the shining star of Antonio Gibson that helped Purple Rain take out Sandusky Shower and continue a tough year for Kyle Russell. At this point, with Darren Waller injured, people like Rondale Moore, Raheem Mostert, and David Montgomery never really panning out. You've got to look at starting off strong next season for Sandusky Shower with Aaron Jones and Deontay Johnson and Darren Waller in the future. But at this point, 5-7, Purple Rain has a chance to make the playoffs if he can keep winning.
Done. Well done. You came back. You came back in a real way with that matchup, Quinn. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, thanks, Daniel. You just got to battle through some stuff, get some good things, and, you know, try and play a little bit of defense when you get a chance, which takes us to probably one of the most defensive matchups of the week between Jay Moneybags and Atlantic City Knockouts, Chase Vickery. Now, Chase sits in third currently and Jay Moneybags in sixth, but this match was much closer, decided by less than 10 points. Daniel, in 30 seconds, what happened here? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Well, the Jekyll and Hyde act of Jay Moneybags' team continued in week 12 as Justin Herbert bounced back with 24 points. But we saw receivers Marquise Brown and Chase Claypool both fail to score under or above 10 points. Steelers defense garnered 0 points. On the opposite side, Chase's team showed up where they needed to. 35 from Josh Allen, 25 from the defense overcame slow starts from everybody else in the starting lineup. Chase is safely tied for second with Derek Bath.
So, Daniel, Jay Money fighting for his life, couldn't pull it up. Still in a chance at 6-6 to make the playoffs.
Yeah, current projections have him in. We're going to have Money, the man, the myth, the money himself in studio here a little bit later. He's going to talk to us a little bit, but speaking on his behalf, yeah, he's just got to find ways to get the most out of a roster that has been inconsistent and unhealthy. Unfortunately, this week he's going to have to do it without, last week he had to do it without Travis Kelce. He does have him coming back this week, and that'll really help solidify the tight end position.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Daniel, you came in with the highest score this week in the league, finishing with 137 points, 7 points above Andy's Siren House. And that takes you guys to a pretty solid year. You now have 3 weeks where you've had the highest score, and Andy's had 3 weeks where you've had the highest score.
Yeah, the commissioner blessed us with a little bit of advanced metrics this morning, giving us a breakdown week by week of the highest score of the week. Of course, he's recognizing these performances throughout the year with a little $5 here you goes. Andy and Daniel tied at 3 weeks as leading scorer. Derek, 2 weeks. And then a cluster of four teams that have led the league once. I'm the only one to have done it back-to-back. I did it in week 12. We'll see if I'm able to accomplish it again in week 13. That's going to be a matchup head-to-head with Siren House. I'm going to see if I can slow down his rise to the top of the standings and get a little $5 here you go in the process.
For sure. So this whole season, Daniel and Andy at 3, Derek with 2, Scott, Tristan, Zach, and Quinn have all won weeks. And Steven, yet to finish with a high score himself. So I like that out of a commissioner. You know, he keeps himself out of the running for these things.
Yep, as a good commissioner should. And it hasn't been since Steven manipulated the score for me to lose in the playoffs by decimals a few years ago when he tried to block Quinn's trading of future draft picks to Sam a year before that. Ever since that period in time, he's been a good commissioner. So I'm grateful for that. But never forget, people, that's what this podcast is about. And speaking of never forget, we're going to talk about some of our favorite challenge competitors of all time. MTV's challenge is a pet favorite of Quinn and myself. And we're going to look back at some of the best competitors in our eyes and how they apply to the football field. We're going to give you that after a quick word from our commercial sponsor.
ESPN The Ocho, always 100.
And we're back. Daniel, we were going to run some stuff. We talked about the challenge. We're diving into the tight end position and who our favorite challenge competitors are by position. So we've talked quarterbacks. We've talked, you know, some running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, kickers, special teams, different ways that the things are put up. So it's pretty entertaining. Are you watching much of the challenge right now?
I am on the back half of season 30, aka Dirty 30. So I guess I'm about four or five seasons behind at this point.
I like it, but I've been caught up on the most recent seasons. Haven't checked out a lot of the champ stuff like Daniel has, but basically, you know, you can catch them on MTV. You can catch them on Paramount Plus. You can catch it on Netflix, I think, still.
Mm-hmm. So a select few seasons, yeah.
Yeah, but there's great seasons, great players on all of them. And so let's run some of this position podcast. Daniel asked me to rank challenge people, and it's awesome because I just finished one of the more recent episodes from this season. I feel like I have one of the, you know, the privilege of being up to date with how people are performing today and how they performed in the past. And that's kind of how I had to go for this next position.
So Quinn, tell me what does the tight end position mean to you in the scope of the challenge?
Well, for me, I thought of size. And I actually needed to find a place to where I could put people who I thought like performed on the challenge at a certain size and had a certain je ne sais quoi about themselves. And so that's in the tight end position. I think the tight end position is like a big athletic
dude.
Wait a
second. What'd you say about me?
That's my CT. That's your CT. Yeah. No. Let him say it. What do you say? But yeah, so I've got
you can't control me anymore, DM.
So I've got my five.
You got a CT impression? You got a CT impression?
Oh yeah, that reminds me of me and DM back in the day, just two lovebirds.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just trying to, you know, stay in the game here. You know what I mean?
Okay, so Quinn. Long story short, tight end number one. You've got CT. It's because it's a combination of size and production. That's what it comes down to for you?
Yes, size and production. My top five tight ends for the challenge are going to be CT, a young Leroy before he won the championships, Zach, Anissa, and The Miz. So I am... Yeah, sorry to interrupt. There was a... To jump straight to Leroy, I did want to say I've picked Leroy twice, and I should have said an old Leroy is my quarterback once he's won a championship, and my tight end is the fabulous athleticism that he showed when he was younger before he won in the daily challenges. He was just like all over the place jumping over cars and stuff and like getting knocked out, and he was just great. He was just sacrificing his body like a tight end should. So he's my number two. He's who I'd love to like have a quarterback get to, you know, send that tight end out to play the game, the challenges in a certain way for me. But then also tight ends can take over the game. That's why CT is my number one, just based on his size and his ability to control and change the way you play the game and how you have to defend the game. I think it's cool because when CT's on a certain team, the defense for the other teams during the challenge, during those seasons, was to sort of concern themselves with CT.
Whereas if he wasn't on that team, you know, that's a totally different political strategy. And that's what happens when you've played George Kittle, Travis Kelce, and soon to be Darren Waller, really, for everybody.
So tell me, does that make the Miz the Zach Ertz of this conversation? Somebody that was really good, but it was so long ago that you forget that it's still out there as an option.
You know, I don't know. Do you think the Miz could actually win a challenge if he came back on the show? Like, for real. Like, real talk.
I don't know. I don't think it would happen, but I don't think he would have a fair shot to win because he's a personality.
Right. You think he'd get Lolo Jones? They just make him leave?
No, I just think, like, somehow, like, I don't know, like, the storyline's better if, like, it's screwed over or something, or, like, I don't know, there's, like, a reason for him to, like, flip out and storm off.
Mm-hmm.
Or do something that's, like, semi-scripted.
You know who The Miz reminds me of? Shannon Sharp.
Okay.
Because Shannon Sharp was headed for bigger and better things after football, and you could feel it, right? And that's where The Miz lands with me, where he was practicing wrestling moves, like, on TV, like, auditioning for the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
In the same way, you know.
Practicing promos. He was applying everything, like, of what he was doing on the challenge.
And I feel like Shannon Sharp became like a real big interview, you know, after games. You know, he was like the talking head for the Ravens, in that sense for them. So, you know, I thought that's where Miz sat. You know, Zach at number three was probably one of the biggest and most like developed bodies we had ever in the challenge. And I think he fits perfectly in the tight end position. You know, you can't run them all, you know, in a 2-minute offense. I'm really scared of him being able to like run down, you know, and run go routes and then come back to the line of scrimmage and run another go route. You know, so that's why he's not in the top like all time, like one or two, like Leroy or CT. But, you know, he's, if you got him facing one direction and he doesn't have to turn back around and run backwards, you know, then like, I think he's one of the best.
I think he was an actual college wide receiver.
Yeah. That's dope. Yeah. So if he's got the hands on top of it, he doesn't have the legs though, as we know. He's died in a challenge going up a hill multiple times.
So my tight ends were some of those old school pre-Jimmy Graham era, like prolific tight end, like the old school blocking tight end glue guys, the Daryl Johnson, the Moose Johnsons, the guys that would catch the clutch passes, score at the right time and do the right play at the right time. But they're also in there on the front lines getting dirty. And, you know, they don't get all the glamour, but they get the results. And so number one was Derek, Rough Derek. Our boy, you know,
right.
Number two, Paula, you know, somebody who in her later years wasn't afraid to do the dirty work, was willing to do what it takes to win. Kind of turned into like a distance runner at the end of her challenge career. Like,
yeah, sort of better. Remade her like Tony Gonzalez in a way.
Yeah. That's interesting to track. And then just like Leroy comes around and like, yeah, he's Jimmy Graham, like blows up the prototype of like what the tight end is. And it's like, he's a glue guy. Everybody likes him. Does the dirty work, keeps his head clean. Because like you said, not playing like a crazy, like political drama game. Just doing what it takes to stay in the game. Exactly what I'm looking for in a fantasy tight end.
Hi, I'm Larry Fisher Sr.
And I'm Larry Fisher Jr.
And here at Fisher VCR Repair, we know that family means something.
Like family means fixing a VCR.
Everybody remembers those homemade moments, family moments recorded, or the sex tape you recorded with your first wife.
Tonight, Larry Fisher Sr., 45, and Larry Fisher Jr., 29, were arrested for possession and conspiracy to make bootleg cough syrup here in our local town. Found over 200 gallons of the stuff. The shop has been around for over 30 years, located on the corner of Wilshire and 2nd, and police came there and broke in and arrested the two gentlemen who have had this VCR store for some time as a front. We'll be right back after this.
Now we're back.
Now we're back.
We're back now.
There's a little Christopher Walken in there.
We're back now.
We're back now.
Now we're back.
This fantasy league was your father's league.
And he lived with this league up his ass for 6 months. Now we're back. I'm giving it to you.
Vampire Journal podcast.
Never heard of it. All right. We're fighters. Back. Folks, we're back. You're still with us. We love you. If you're not, you're not.
Now we're back. And if you're still listening, that's what they call a cold open. It's when they run several different takes to try and feel out what works and what doesn't.
This one's worked the best so far. So, Daniel.
Quinn. Now we're back in a big way, and we're talking about playoffs in a big way. Tell you what, we're going to take a look at the league where you still have a shot at the playoffs. That's the Vampire League Selena Gomez Fan Club. Currently, as seeded, projected playoffs would be this if they started today. Number 1 seed Chase Vickery versus number 4 seed Jay Cutler. Number 2 seed Curtis Jackson against longtime rival Turd Ferguson, Moose Courtway. Quinn, if the playoffs ended today, both of us would be on the outside looking in. Tell me who you think is the most likely to fall out of that playoff picture and allow one of us to sneak in.
Well, Daniel, it's a great, complicated look at the standings so far. You know, a couple of weeks ago when we talked to QPC projections, you know, I was almost right in the idea that it could be a big logjam at 7-7. Correct. Mm-hmm. But now as the forecast is getting close to the end of the season, I myself, to stay alive in the playoffs, I'm hoping for this logjam to end at 6-8 between 3-4 teams. And those teams would include Stanpires Back, Bonefex Trees, Smoke and Jay Cutler, and possibly Turd Ferguson. So
I wasn't ready to say anything.
Okay. All right, so he's not ready to say anything. All right, watching that ball fly by, that's a point.
Well, you know, sometimes you just, you know, you get used to watching James Harden shoot it when he dribbles down the court. Sometimes you're not ready for him to pass it to you.
I get it. But yeah, so if I was to look, a couple of weeks ago, we said 7-7. I think the forecast is that there's going to be a big log jam between 3-4 teams or over half the league at 6-8 to finish. That would require me to win out, you to split, and Steven to lose out for those first three to hit. And I think it's very possible with Steven's struggles at his roster and to bring Turd Ferguson into play. If he loses this week to you, Daniel, that could be the beginning of your split and you losing next week to Deacon Dorf and him holding court in the second ranking going into the playoffs.
Yeah, and Quinn, speaking as a Home Depot associate, whenever you say the word logjam, it's no surprise to me that something named Turd is involved. And tying Turd Ferguson and Jay Cutler's teams together, both have had a combination of underperforming players and injured players that have really sapped some of the excitement we saw in those two squads coming out of draft day. Now, if we do consider that we could get a big poo-poo platter at the fourth spot trying to get into the playoffs, let's take a look at the tiebreaker, which is points four. Currently is situated. Number 2, Deacon Dorf, sits atop the scoring list at 1,611 points. Number 2, by only a margin of 1.4 points, is the Vampire. Stanpires, 1,604.86 points. Narrowly behind in third is Roberto Courtway at 1603.4. Then there's a bit of a drop-off after those three teams. Number 1 seed Jazz Vickery at 1579. And then you and Steven are in a really close lockup for the 5 and 6 in scoring. So Quinn, tell me what needs to happen aside from a four-way tie for you to get the tiebreaker and slide into the playoffs?
Well, actually, Daniel, it's interesting. In this case, the four-way tie would not do me any service. You're sitting at 5-7. I need you to lose out. If you don't lose out, I don't get in, because that's pretty much where we live in my world, personally.
All right.
If you end up at 6-8, you and Robbie would probably hold court with the two highest scores in the points four, and then Jay Cutler and myself would be out. If you lost both games, Robbie would move himself into 7-6. He would play at least 7-7, guaranteeing himself a playoff spot. He's got a 75% chance of making the playoffs currently. He's just got to win one of his last two games. But in this case, if that happens, that would mean you've lost. You're at 5-8. If I can win this week, I'm at 5-8. And next week, if I can win and you lose again, I can jump you and then get into a three-way tie or a two-way tie, which is Smoke and Jay Cutler at 6-8, potentially, if he loses out. So,
and if no clear winner is decided after exactly. that, the two-man potato sack races will be held in alternating Saturdays until a winner is decided.
It's weird because I kind of thought I was out of the playoffs, and then Chase hit me up this last few days with some trade offers, and then he made some moves to try and secure his position, and then there was still one possibility open for us today, and he showed me that there was a way that I could potentially still make the playoffs if everything went my way, and so I decided to go through with this trade offer and potentially take on some a great wide receiver and a better running back than I'm playing right now in the flex. So, you know, I could be back in it, but we'll see what happens after next week.
Yep. Because there's no more regular season games after next week. So we talked about who can possibly move in at the bottom of the standings. Talk to me about the team at the top of the standings. Mr. Solo Dolo, 8-4, one game lead over Curtis Jackson. What a story that would be if he was able to slide into the first place standings for the regular season. But looking at Chase's team, rocky start from Patrick Mahomes seems to be leveling out. Jonathan Taylor has been emergent as a fantasy star, and he's gotten enough contributions from a grab bag of wide receivers, including Devontae Adams, that he's been in the pole position practically from the start. Quinn, is this just a matter of him getting to a lead and then maintaining pace? Or do you think that his team is a true juggernaut, a clear-cut number one seed?
I think it's the number one seed, and he's building up a squad to take in there. I will give one risk. You know, we talked about this earlier in the season. There was the theory of coupling not a quarterback with a wide receiver, but coupling several players from the same team together. He's about to take on Aaron Jones, and he's got Devontae Adams already on his squad. You know, if he starts both of those in a playoff scenario, you know, now you're going to have to be hoping that just the generic Green Bay offense goes off, period. Correct? Mm-hmm. And sure. So, I mean, you know, he's making a lot of moves to square up his position, but potentially, you know, he might leave himself in some harder matchups than you might really think, even though you might think in a vacuum, Aaron Jones is great. In a vacuum, Devontae Adams is great. But in the idea of those two dice have to roll a certain way, both roll sixes, you know, that's a tough beat, especially in the playoffs over 2 weeks' time, if that's what you're going to be relying on for two games worth of decisions, correct?
Yeah, sure. And it's, you know, basically in terms of investments, it's considering either diversifying your funds or putting all your money in one stock, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing that's kind of interesting about Green Bay specifically is that we've seen Rodgers miss time with COVID. I believe Devontae missed time with COVID as well earlier in the year. Not to say that it's more likely to spread in one locker room than the other, but we have seen it impact this team already. You know, it's just something to consider is, you know, we saw Dallas's coaching staff, several of their assistants be affected by it. Now, Mike McCarthy this week, you know, you would hate for something like that to impact multiple players on the same team. And so that is an interesting thought to consider in terms of coupling specific to this year. Chase is really just that $5 acquisition of Jonathan Taylor on draft day. It's been echoing. It's been resonant all season long. And it paid off in a huge way when he went against Vampire 2 weeks ago. Comes out of the season unscathed. And I'm just, you know, as good as his team is, I'm not sure that it's just clear cut number one against any other team on a week to week basis outside of Mahomes and Taylor. I don't know that there's any killers. Kittle's been inconsistent and dealt with injuries. DeAndre Hopkins is the same story. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has failed to prove that he's been a contributing fantasy running back. And he's trading away Adam Thielen, who's been a touchdown machine out there in Minnesota. So it's going to be interesting to see how his team. Now, he does have Davante Adams and Nick Chubb on the bench. They're both on the bye. But I'm just, you know, again, it just doesn't scream number one team like we've seen before. So I'm really interested to see how he finishes out the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think the last person we got to look at is Kurt Taylor. Is he the number one team in the league bringing in, you know, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, these two vampire killers that we talked about?
Yeah, and, you know, that's something where you might feel a little bit better about Kansas City not being dominant early in the season because it seems like they're going to have to really turn it on and compete all throughout the rest of the season. So I don't think that, unlike previous years, I don't think that we're going to see much of those star players getting rest at the end of the year. But if we take a look, you know, he is dealing with a couple of injury concerns of his own. Dalvin Cook just went out with a shoulder injury. Who else? David Montgomery is struggling to come back from that knee injury earlier in the season. Kareem Hunt didn't make a huge impact in his first game back in action. And so it's going to be interesting to see. He did, you know, throughout the year, he upgraded at quarterback from Tannehill to Rodgers. And he got more value out of Matthew Stafford than we might have thought. Odell Beckham turned it on once he got out to Los Angeles. So I think that he does have a team on the rise. Just hurts to see that Cook and Elliott combo fail to produce like you probably imagined on draft day.
Yep. And, you know, I think when you start to look at the bench coming into the last few weeks, it's going to shut down. You know, when you think about Odell and Kareem Hunt and these cats, you need to get them back to 100% healthy, even be any potential of being fantasy worthy.
Yeah. And, you know, 2 weeks left, but it's
getting exciting.
You know, 2 weeks left. And I think it's great that nothing is really set in stone. I think that, you know, while Chase has locked in a playoff position, we still just don't know a ton definitively about what it's going to look like 3 weeks from now. And it makes it super exciting. And I can't wait to see how it plays out, unless I lose, in which case I'm going to throw a tantrum, and this will be the last year of the podcast. So on that note, let's throw it over to the Ray Lewis League. We're the 10th year in action, and we've got some new names and some old names in the projected playoff bracket. In this league, six teams make it to the big dance, with the top two seeds getting a week one bye in the playoffs. Quinn, if playoffs started today, number one seed would be Big Red Bells, number two seed Johnsonville Chump.
They'd get number, a bye.
Yeah, those two teams would get a bye. Number three seed would be ACK Atlantic City Knockouts Chase Vickery. Like I talked about 2 weeks ago, I feel like he has one of the deepest rosters from top to bottom. Number four seed would be Derek Babb. He's no stranger to the playoffs. Number five seed would be Siren House Andy Martin. And then number six seed, our boy Jay Money. Cha-ching! Mm-hmm. We should like drop in like Pink Floyd's Money there. So number six seed, Jay Moneybags, currently at 6-6. He's at the top of the crap heap at that tie down there, but he's got to stay sharp the next 2 weeks to secure it. Quinn, you know, if I'm to try and think back on some of my playoff locks, I've, you know, we are not seeing Sam Cannon's name here, but we are seeing Johnsonville champ. How does this playoff bracket look to you compared to where you thought it might be at the start of the season?
Well, I was definitely hoping that I'd be in those playoffs, Daniel. And that didn't happen.
I believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, taking a look at this, we got to look at the history starting with Jay Moneybags. You know, he's been odd man out in 2018 and 2020 with that 6-7 record.
Yeah.
So if the season ended this week, like it has in the past, Jay would be potentially running into, falling into that odd man out scenario. And I think that's something that we have to look forward to. That's why you say it's so important for him the next 2 weeks. If he can finish 8-6, it would by far help him get into the playoffs, maybe even improve his seeding to capture the first place spot over Siren House. So I kind of think if we work our way from the bottom to the top, Daniel, you can start to see how people are trying to position themselves going into the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, interesting. We talked a little bit about the season scoring in the Vampire League. If we take a look at the Ray Lewis League, while there's more people, it is kind of tiered the same way. You've got two teams clustered at the top, separated by only 4 points. Andy Martin in first with 1,439 points. Big Red Bells in second, 1,435. Then you've got two teams narrowly behind that, the number two and three teams in the league, Tristan and Chase. Chase at third, Tristan in fourth. Then it drops down again, and then it drops down again, and it's a couple of tiers of like five teams in each there. So it's going to be interesting to see if we end up with, say, a 7-7 cluster of teams there at the end, how a tiebreaker might shake out. Andy currently at 70-5, leading the league in scoring. But some of these other teams, Jay Moneybags, Hug the Stud, currently 6-6 each. They're at 1,241, 1,236, so considerably behind Andy. So nobody, in a worst-case scenario, Andy ends up losing out. Nobody wants to end up tied with him at the end of the year.
Yes, I agree. I think that's super important to promote, too. And, looking at the amount of scores that Andy's put up, being highest score three times in the season, that's going to be the type of scoring that gets you there. Is there anybody that's able to hide their, like, hang their hat other than Siren House in the scoring?
Again, I think Tristan and Chase each led the league once in scoring, and they're again 3-4. So a lot of these teams at the top of the season scoring are the teams that we saw on Steven's list as weekly high scores. So I don't think that there's a ton of surprises there until you scroll all the way down to second to last in the league. 3-8 record. This train is bound for glory. Quinn, you currently have 1,334 points, and that is good enough for 1, 2, 3, 4.
Fifth in the league in scoring, third in the league in points allowed. The three people at the bottom of the league have the most allowed points of anybody else in the league, including actually the fourth. And then the fifth, it's incredible how it's tiered for the first five players at the bottom. They've lost games, not because necessarily they didn't try their hardest, but because they've hit some huge scoring days from people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's fantasy in a sense. I was thinking about it. If we did the scoring differentials between players and what their average scoring win or loss was, what they would win by or lose by, that would start to tell you maybe how well someone competes against another person if they put up as many points as they can try to, or if they roster the correct team that week for their stuff. So it might be something we look into at the end of the year. But if we could find some better analytics to see how we can play these games better and finish with higher records in the league, even if we're allowing a lot of points, then that could be something.
Yeah, it's interesting. It might be obvious. I'm not an inherent mathematician, but if you take a look at scoring differential, the teams with a 500 record or better have a positive overall scoring differential. Everybody with a losing record has a negative scoring differential. So you do see a couple of teams like Siren House, Anal Fisters. They've had fairly high points against for high scoring teams. But some of these other teams are just getting lucky. I'll include myself in terms of I've only had 1,231 points scored against me. So fourth lowest total in the league. The two teams directly above me in terms of having less points scored against: Johnsonville Champ, Atlantic City Knockouts. So sometimes, you know, well, every time, fantasy is a combination of luck and playing the right lineups, drafting right on draft day, but a lot of luck again, because the top three teams in the standings are three of the four teams that have had the lowest points against.
Right. And at this point, Daniel, let's talk a little bit about what people need to have happen for him. And I think it starts right in eighth place and ninth place with cross-eyed Dilfer Scott King and Stephen Fox, Purple Rain. They're sitting at 5-7, two games left in the year. And the sixth spot is up for grab with Jay Moneybags and Hud the Stud sitting at 6-6. So if I'm cross-eyed Dilfer and Purple Rain, I want to win my next 2 weeks, finish 7-7, and I need Jay Moneybags and Hud the Stud to lose at least one game, correct?
Yep, that's what you need. And those teams are really pretty tight in terms of scoring as well. Hud and Money separated by 5 points apiece. Steven's score sits right in between the both of them. And then cross-eyed Dilfer, Scott King, sits just 3 points above Jay Money. So between those four players, they are separated by only 8 points. So it's tight between those four teams.
Yeah, it's really, really close. So at this point, you know, Jay Money's in our projected bracket. We talked about him. We're going to have him on the show real quick. But Hud the Stud, Scott, and Purple Rain are very much in the playoff hunt, and they're trying to make it into that sixth position. If you had to put your money on anybody today for the next 2 weeks, we look at the schedules. Jay Moneybags plays Sandusky Shower at 2-10, and then he plays Anal Fisters at 8-4 to finish the season. How do we feel about Jay Moneybags? Do we think he's finishing the season?
Let's see. I think that he probably has one of the better sets of matchups, just because he starts off with Sandusky Shower this week. Hud plays Atlantic City. Steven goes up against Derek Babb. And, well, you know, cross-eyed Dilfer is playing the 3-9. But emergent, this train is bound for glory. If we take a look next week, who does cross-eyed Dilfer play next week? They play Purple Rain.
That'll be a huge matchup then.
Yeah. And then the Stud finishes with Big Red Belts. Dang, all these teams have either head-to-head matchups or tough matchups kind of both weeks. So, yeah, you know, all things else held equal, I gotta give the tiebreaker to our guy Jay Moneybags.
I like it. Yeah, you think his schedule looks the strongest?
I you know, well, just if everything else is a tie, it's got to go to Money, right?
Correct. Yeah, because Andy's going to make it. Even if he goes 7-7, he'll have the points.
No, I just want to make it clear that I'm basing nothing on fact. This is all off of gut, and just me and Jay go way back. And so, you know, Jay's my boy.
For sure, for sure. I mean, last but not least, Team Kissin' Cousins sitting at 10th place. Can he jump 4 spots? He wins out. He goes 6-6-8, right? Okay, so stay with me here. Can Jay Money lose both games? He goes 6-8. So he loses to Anal Fisters. He loses to Sandusky Showers. Those don't matter. Okay, so then let's see. Can he go Hud the Stud? So can he hop Hud the Stud? Hud the Stud plays Chase. That doesn't matter. And then Hud the Stud plays Big Red Bells. That doesn't matter. So Hud the Stud could lose out, finish 6-8. And then cross-eyed Dilfer at 5-7. Can he get cross-eyed Dilfer to split at least? Cross-eyed Dilfer could. And then Steven could split. And if he wins out, Team Kissing Cousins leads at 6-8. And if he averages about 250 points a game, I think he could win the points. So it says 0% chance of making the playoffs. But if you know the QPC projections, there's always a chance.
Always a chance.
So, Sam, keep rostering your squad. Do your best. You never know.
All right. Well, I can't wait to see how both of these leagues shake out come playoff time. You know, passions are high. Text threads are high. Message threads are high. Chase is high. And so it's going to be really exciting. And we got a bunch of big matchups. But segueing from big matchups to big time movies, nothing gets bigger than the big Hollywood film coming out called Coat Rack 2. Starring Chad Hemsworth and Reese Witherspoon. This movie is said to reset the rack genre as we know it. And Quinn, we've gotten special firsthand access to the music video accompanying the film. Is that right?
Correct. The official music video is dropped here on the Vampire Journals podcast. We're happy to bring it to you right now.
I will find you. And you will find me on a boat, on a boat, on a boat. Correct you. I am blue. On a boat, on a boat.
they find you. Before the vampire finds you. Before the vampire finds you.
And I'm back. Quinn, that music video, in the words of Nigel Heathcliff, was powerful stuff.
I agree, Daniel. What a great fucking film that is. You know, I just, every time we see a cut of it, it gets better and better.
Yeah, you know, from the people that brought us Boat Rack, we should expect high quality. And speaking of quality, I think we just have one segment left in this podcast. Is that right?
Hell yeah, D.
Yeah, we're going to bring everybody's number one favorite podcast guest on, and he's going to be talking about the marquee matchup of the week in the Ray Lewis League. We don't give a marquee matchup out lightly in this league, but when it happens for a reason. And Quinn, before Money talks to us about the specifics of the matchup, tell the listeners what the matchup is this week.
Daniel, it's a close matchup. It's an important matchup, and it's going to be our matchup, our marquee matchup of the week. It's going to be 6-6 HUD the Stud versus the 8-4 Atlanta City Knockouts. HUD the Stud's fighting in position to get into the playoffs, reaching for that sixth position. He stands in seventh, and Atlantic City Knockouts looking to improve in third to potentially get a bye if he can finish strong the rest of this season.
Quinn, Daniel, what's up, brothers? It's good of you to have me back in studio today.
Great to see you, Jay.
Yeah, I heard what you said there about the matchup, and we got my Austin brother, Hud the Stud, trying to get into the playoffs, and we got Atlantic City Knockouts. I heard he came to Austin once, and he's not allowed back anymore. I don't know what happened there, but as much as I got to root for my Austin guy, he's tied with me at 6-6, and he's going down this week. Chase is in. He's locked in. I need him to stay locked in for the rest of the season. That way I can sneak into the playoffs. I don't want any of that bullshit that went down a couple years back. These tiebreakers always seem to fuck over the one that deserves it the most. And this year, that's me.
So, Jade, you got a points total for us here?
Yeah, 69.
I love it. Jay, thanks so much. You know, I got you here right now. Let's talk about your matchup. What do you think? You've got Sandusky Shower. He's coming at you with Kirk Cousins and, Deontay Johnson and some strong fellas when he ends up rostering his folks. What do you think?
Currently projected for 56.2. Ain't going to cut it. Justin Herbert's on a heater. Josh Jacobs getting involved in the passing game. Money's coming around at the right time.
All right, Jay. All right. Well, did you get a chance to check out the Hot Ones podcast last week?
Oh, yeah. Spicy.
Thanks, man. Well, everybody, that's Jay Moneybags.
Money, you take it easy, man.
Yeah, I'll see you,
Jay. Stay real.
Thanks, Jay.
All right. Well, Quinn, we talked a lot about the playoffs, and things are really going to shake out in week 13 for the first time in NFL and fantasy history. The regular season is going to go into week 14. So we got an extra podcast this year. I'm sure that the listeners are excited to hear that. Do you want to do any kind of teaser about what we talked about today, or are we going to keep that tight-lipped until we release it?
You know, I think we're just, you know, I've been out in the field all month trying to gather more interviews. So hopefully we can get the story so that we can follow the tape.
Yep. In the great words of Ray Ray, follow the tape. In the great words of the Wu-Tang Clan, protect your neck. For this time and until we see you again, this is the Vampire Journals Podcast.